Greetings to you all from Church of Living Grace in Parsippany to the OCM Church, Grace Church. Really happy to be here to worship with you. Yesterday the weather was very challenging, but today, thank God, the roads are clear. It's a long passage, so obviously we're not going to cover every single verse, otherwise you don't need me to preach. So if you have the Bible, I strongly advise you that you open it up so that you can follow the passage as we move up and down the passage. Now, before we go on, I just want to ask you a question here. How many of you like coffee? Well, a lot of coffee drinker here. I myself don't drink coffee for some reason. But for those of you who drink coffee, who's got the best coffee, do you think? Starbucks? McDonald's? Dunkin' Donuts? OCM? I have no idea who's got the best coffee, obviously, because I'm not a coffee drinker, but I can tell you, from my impression, who's got the most expensive coffee? Right. Starbucks, right? Sometimes you wonder how they get away with it. You pay like $5-6 for a cup of coffee. So they are the Starbucks. You hand them over your buck. But somehow even I cannot stay away from Starbucks, because for some reason my friends, but every time when we want to get to meet together, they would say, "I'll meet you in Starbucks," because they have Wi-Fi, right? They have a nice setting. So I have end up sitting there waiting for my friend, and being a courteous Chinese, you don't want to sit there and wait, so you have to buy something. So I did have my own experience of Starbucks coffee, so I would go up there and try to get myself a cup of coffee, and I'm waiting for my friend. So since I'm not a coffee drinker, all I need to do, I just want to have a cup to hold on, and so that I don't look like a alerter, you know? So I would go up there and say, "Give me a small coffee." You know what they say to you, right? Oh, you don't know? And they try it. And they would say, "Tall." I said, no. I don't want to have a tall coffee. I just want to have a small coffee. And then they still would say, "Tall." I said, no, small. And then I go back and forth heckling, so finally, oh, whatever, that's going to be tall. And then I came home, I talked to my kids about my frustration, and then my kid would tell, "Dad, you have no idea. They have different nomenclatures. They have tall for small, they have grande, then they have venti." I said, "Why do they want to make my life so complicated?" And then they said, my son started giving me this lecture on marketing. I said, "They don't understand. You know why Starbucks is so successful? The coffee sucks. But they have a great marketing scheme. They know how to brainwash you. So they want to indoctrinate you with the Starbucks culture, and they'll make you speak their language." I said, "Which is, well, small is tall. A regular is grande, and last is venti. So after a while, you become a Starbucks person you don't even know." I said, "Wow, that is pretty smart. It's called assimilation, right?" But then I said, "Wait a minute, when I'm studying the Bible, it says Starbucks is not that smart, because the Bible says there's nothing new under the sun. This concept has been around for many, many years. In the book of Daniel today here, let me bring you back on how Starbucks stole this marketing concept from the king Nebuchadnezzar. Now, those of you, I think many of you are very, very familiar with this passage. What happened here is, there's a man called Daniel. He was a Jew, and he was taken captive by King Nebuchadnezzar to Babylon. Now, this happened, this story took place about 600 years before Jesus was born, about 400 years after King David was enthroned as a king. And Judah was invaded by the pagan Babylonians, and the temple was ransacked. And a lot of the young people, Daniel was one of them, they were taken captive to Babylon. So right here, I don't know about you, a lot of people was reading this passage, including myself, I would have a question. Is that Israel was chosen by God, right? They are God's chosen people. They were blessed by God. And how would they be overcome by pagans? By the people who would not honor God and would not know God. Why would God not protect them? Where was God when they needed him? Do you have a question? Sometimes we have the same questions today too for Christians. Where is God when we needed him? Now, something we have to stay very, very clear. God is always in control. So when we read in the Bible, we know that before this incident took place, God already gave Israel many, many warnings. In the book Malachi, God made it very, very clear. He said that you guys have been rebellious against me, and I'm going to impose punishment on you, and I'm going to allow the pagans to persecute you, to teach you a lesson. So God already gave them a forewarning, and they've been ignoring God's warning, and that's why it happened. Because as God promised, the righteous shall live by faith. So that's what happened. Now, so let's come back here. So when they were taken captive by the Babylonians, the Chaldeans, Nebuchadnezzar was very smart, and that's why he rose up to power so fast. He was very, very good in making use of whatever resources that he could have. So when they are taking these people captives, they will not just kill them, because that would be a waste. So they would take them on and use them for the furtherance of the kingdom. For some people, some adults, they would use them as slaves. For the young people, the people were free of blemishes, good appearances, and skillful, and in all wisdom endowed with knowledge. I see a lot of you here qualify with that qualification. Right? You can see a lot of these fine young people in a lot of these churches today. You're well taught, you are well skilled, well trained, you're very, very useful. And King Nebuchadnezzar would say, I would not want to waste these resources. I want to use these people for my kingdom. So he invented a 3-year training program in the passage here. For 3 years, verse 6, they were to be educated for 3 years, and at the end of that time, they were to stand before the king. Among these were Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. King Nebuchadnezzar had this training program, and Daniel was chosen for this program along with his friends. And it came with a lot of good benefits and a great career opportunity, because he said at the end of that time, at the end of this training program, they were to stand before the king. Stand before the king, that means you're going to interview and to be appointed for high positions. It sounds very good, right? You are captives right now. You're supposed to be treated like a slave, but they will elevate you. They give you free education, free woman board when you're learning, with a promise of great opportunity at the end of the training program. Who doesn't want it? It's like a full scholarship to an Ivy League school with the future already promised. It's too good to be true for a captive. Except that there are some catches here. What are the catches? First of all, to realize these benefits, to participate in this program, you have to follow certain rules. Now, here you go. First of all, they have to deny their Hebrew heritage. King Nebuchadnezzar wanted them to think like a Babylonian. Because Nebuchadnezzar had no interest in training the Jews to be educated people and send them back home. He wanted to train them up and make them part of Babylon. And that's why he wanted to put them through this program. Now, before we go on, it's very, very important significance here that I want to share with you, because in the Bible, Babylon has been used as a symbol of what? Babylon in the Bible is being used as a symbol of satanic influence, the devil, the enemy of God. That's been the symbol. And there's a reason, because Babylon was a superpower at that time. It was really against the Christian people. So Nebuchadnezzar really, really wanted to assimilate God's people, which are Jews back then, to become their youth, to join the Satan's camp. And it's the same thing. It's a spiritual warfare today raging. Satan is always trying to take Christians in captive and assimilate us to be for his use. So this assimilation program would begin by the first procedure, by renaming, by changing their names. So Daniel and his friends, they all had the friends. You can look at the names and you can see there's something in common with them. They all ended with an L or a Yah, right? Do you know what that means? Right? Because El means God in Hebrew. Right? Elohim. El. And Yah, we know that it means Yahweh. Or we say Jehovah. So the Jews' parents, they want their children to remember that they belong to God. So they are all named with either El or Yah, so that they remember that you belong to God, even though you're living in this crooked and corrupt world. It's just like Christians like to name their children with the Christian name, with the Bible name. Remind you that you belong to God, you're a Christian. And Chinese would like to name their children with a family heritage. You, some of the Chinese would know that you have a very special name to remind you that you're supposed to remember your ancestry or something like that, or your country, your home country, whatever. So, Daniel, it means God is my judge. El is my judge. Now, his name is supposed to change to Belshazzar. That means Bel, another god, a Babylonian god, will protect the king. Hananiah, it means mercy of Yah, mercy of Yahweh, God's mercy. His name is going to change to Meshach, the command of Aku. Another god, the moon god. And then Mashiach, it means who is like El, who is like God, that we worship, to Meshach, which is who is like Haku. Again, Haku is the name of the moon god that Babylon worshiped. They have so many goddesses to worship. And then Azariah, he said, Yah, God has help. And his name will change to Abednego. Servants of another god, his name is called Nebo. It means God of wisdom. It's a very subtle change, isn't it? It's a very small change. It should be no big deal. You still belong to God. Your name still carry the God, some kind of a divine flavor. So it's a little different God. No big deal. But however, you look at it carefully, it comes with very profound significance, because linguistic is very important. The word that we use, the speech we use, is powerful. The names that we call people are powerful. That's why we don't want to call people with certain names. Names are very careful. Are you born up, people keep calling you a loser, and somehow you think that you're a loser. All right. It is very, has a profound impact on the person's personality. So with the old name, they remind that they belong to God, this and the Hebrew. That's their heritage, their identity as God's, the one and only God's chosen people. They did not belong to Babylon. Even though they were living in Babylon, but they're not supposed to belong to Babylon. Just like Christians. We are living in a world that they deny Christ and God. But we have to remind ourselves that we, who we are God's chosen people, we are Christians. We don't belong to this world, but we belong to our Jesus Christ. And why is that important? Because your sense of identity, your identity and your spirituality is very, very important for your value system. Just think about it. We all have certain value system, but the very core, the foundation of this value system actually come from our spirituality. And that's why I'm sure that Pastor John and I, we would refrain from officiating the wedding between a believer and a non-believer, because you're going to have a lot of problems if the two people, they don't share the same faith and they are living together, because they will share a different value. Our value system is driven by our spirituality and the God that we want to follow. That's very important. It is very subtle. You still claim that you're following God, but as long as you're following different God, your value system will be very, very different. That's why the world today, the unbelieving world, they're so resentful of Christian names and even the mentioning of Christ. That's why they're so resentful, because it's a spiritual warfare that's going on, that the two sides is clashing one another. So you see, the renaming is a subtle but very powerful way for Babylon to bring people in and indoctrinate them to get this Babylonian flavor. Just like Starbucks. They're so insistent on saying, tall, granted, invented. And after a while, that's all I know. And I become a Starbucks person or Starbucks spokesperson, and I don't even know. Now, the world today is choosing the same game and try to change our value system. So instead of calling it sexual immorality, they would call it homosexuality, using same-sex relationship, right? They don't call it homosexual anymore. And they would say same-sex relationship, same-sex union, same-sex marriage. That's oxymoron. And then when they try to murder an unborn baby, they don't use the word murder the baby, right? They won't say kill the unborn baby. They will not say that. What do they say? They will say pro-choice or Planned Parenthood, right? And they don't call it adultery. They call it what? Having an affair. Sounds much better. So a guy or girl, they are committing sexual immoral. They would not say that, I just had a sexual immoral relationship with this woman I met at the bar. What did they say? We spend the night together, right? Or they invent some kind of fancy term. I cannot keep up this term. They keep changing because they want to make it sound trendy. Because they want to change it, we define it, we normalize the behavior so that you wouldn't feel sinful, dirty, and guilty about it. It's powerful. So we have to be careful in the word that we use. And the second step that Nebuchadnezzar would do was the new diet. New diet. Verse 5. The king assigned them a daily portion of the food the king ate and the wine that he drank. It sounds very good. Right? You got to join the king's buffet. Do we have king buffet around here? All you can eat. All the good stuff. King crap. Right? So you'll be eating like a king. Eat what the king ate. And the wine that he drank. By the way, the college students today, they eat like a king. Right? When they go on and they get a credit card from their parents. I see some young people, they spend $7-$8 for the bubble tea. Or Kung Fu tea. I said, wow, I can make that for 17 cents. Right? But only a king can afford it. But the young people can afford it today. Anyway, that's the standard story. But here you go. But then here, the Daniel said, wait a minute, no way. Now, you cross the line. The Daniel resolved that he would not defile himself with the king's food or with the wine that he drank. Therefore, he asked the chief of the eunuchs to allow him not to defile himself. In verse 8. When you're reading here, you may question, why would Daniel resist such a great deal? Why would he resist such a good offer? Was he being foolish or ungrateful? The king's offering you the best food, the food and drink that only he is entitled to, and give it to you. Why would you turn it down? Now, let me tell you, some of you probably already know why, right? Because Daniel was what? He was a Hebrew. And Hebrew is known for what? Kosher. Right, they have their own food law. And being a Hebrew, it is very important for Daniel to follow the food law. Why is that important? Have you tried kosher food? Does it taste better? Right. It's just made a certain way. It doesn't taste any better. But the Jews, the Hebrew, they have to follow this food law. Because this is the law given to them by God. As a way to separate them from the rest of the world. To follow this food law actually make them Hebrew. By following the food law, they are living in a different lifestyle. This lifestyle defined them, and they belong to El, they belong to Yahweh. They did not belong to the Babylonian king. Daniel resolved to refuse the king's diet because he did not want to violate the Hebrews' food law given to him. Very simple. If you're a Hebrew, you have to live like a Hebrew. And the food that you eat is very important of your lifestyle. Amen? Right? Sometimes it seems simple today, but that's given by God. You did not come up with it. God said that you have to follow this tradition, this system, and then you belong to me. And if you don't do so, then you don't belong to God because you're rejecting his command. As Christians, we have certain lifestyle that we are supposed to live too. Salvation is by grace, not by work. However, we are supposed to be like Christ. And Christ already given us a command that if you want to follow me, I'd love that on your bulletin on the top. Luke 9:23, I hope that everybody knows that verse. If you want to follow me, let you deny yourself, take up the cross daily and follow me. You have to live like me and follow my value system. And that's very important. Daniel did not resist the naming because you cannot control how other people call you. People can call us bigot. We cannot go and correct every single one of them. How they call you will not define you. Let them call you whatever they want. However, he would not change his lifestyle to please Nebuchadnezzar. He would not change his lifestyle simply because it would provide him with better opportunity, because what you do and how you act defines you. Let me say it one more time and see if you agree with me. Right? What you do and how you act actually defines you. Do you agree? For example, if you drink, you could be drinking here and there in a party or drink wine or whatever. You drink, then you're a drinker. Right? If you smoke, you take a cigarette from here and there, you're a smoker. You have sex outside your marriage, what does that make you? You're an adulterer. If you go after a career and put it, material possession, and put your schoolwork and your career over God, and you make that as a higher priority over worshiping God, then what does that make you? I doubt that. See, so what you do and how you act define you. You can come to the church every single day. Right? So it's very important. Our lifestyle actually define who we are, and that is our identity. The food law is given by God as a Hebrew identity because that will define the lifestyle. So, no matter how the world is trying to change us, trying to make Christians to follow the world, as Christians, we must not compromise our Christian values or lifestyle. And the world will do everything to try to move you away from your Christian style. For example, they would have important meetings and functions over the weekend. You know that? More and more important meetings on Sundays now. My daughter, my two kids, when I sent them to piano learn piano, the school spent a lot of time training them for competitions. I'm sure that a lot of you parents, you do the same. And two of my kids are very talented in music, so they were kind of like, for this Melody Musical Academy, it's like they're franchise players. So they spend a lot of time on them. But I told the teacher, the owner, a long time ago, and say, Friday night and Sunday are not negotiable. Friday night he's going to go to fellowship, Sunday we worship. And the teacher said, yeah, no problem. And then until when the contest comes, the whole weekend. So I come down and say, my kids cannot participate. Actually, I did not say that. My kids told the principal, I cannot compete on Sunday. Oh, it went ballistic. I got called in, and my kids got yelled at. And the teacher basically kind of like, what's the big deal? We just missed 1 week. I'm Catholic too. I said, you do whatever you want, but that's the system, the value that I'm trying to bring onto my children. God first, everything second. And I told you before, I did not just come and tell you right now. It didn't go well. And I thought that they would be kicked out from the school because they said, we spent so much time on your kids. Now it's not worth it. You know what's happened next? The next year, the school negotiated so hard. For all the competition that my kids that were involved, it would be all competed and finished on Saturday. It's at Rutgers outside. And we go down there, we spend a day on Rutgers on Saturday, and we'll be done, we'll leave. We wouldn't even join their award ceremony on Sunday. Because that's how the world is going to get you. Skip the worship once on a Sunday, twice on a Sunday, 3-4 times, and you only come 3-4 times in the church. You only come on Easter when everything is shut down, right? You only come maybe Thanksgiving when everything is shut down. Then you know what? Jesus said, I don't even know you anymore. I don't know you. And then the world say, we love you because now you're joining us. So we have to be very careful. When you compromise your Christian lifestyle, you're compromising your Christian identity. So Daniel resolved not to conform to the Babylonian lifestyle, because that would be defiling God's holiness in him. And resolve is a very strong word. Resolve. Strong word. That means even if that I had to give up the enrollment to this very promising program, even though it would mean that it will compromise my chance to be enrolled to my dream school, I'm not going to compromise that. That is faith in action. You know what faith is? That is faith. Faith in action. Nothing is going to move me away from my God. And here you go. And this is how Daniel handled, and we should all learn too. Daniel then, on verse 12, he asked wisely. He said, well, test your servant, who was talking to this head eunuch, and said, the person overseeing this program, he said, test your servants for 10 days. Let us be given a vegetable to eat and water to drink. Then let our appearance and the appearance of the youths who eat the king's food be observed by you. Now, as Christians, we should learn how to resist too. You see how he was resisting the temptation, the assimilation program by the world, wisely. No angry protest, no emotional debate. He said, because the Bible said our anger will not bring about the righteousness of God. There's no need to go and yell and scream because the other party is not interested in hearing your rationale, trust me. It's spiritual warfare. They're trying to conquer you. You cannot talk them down, put down their weapons. They're just trying to kill you. There's no make no sense and go and open the Bible and try to reason with them because they don't believe in the Bible. What we need to do is we have to go and courteously, with honor and respect, and tell Esther and say, why don't you do your way and let me do my way? I'm not going to condemn you because you're not going to listen to my teaching anyway. And he did not even mention Hebrew diet. He would not say that, I'm a Hebrew, I got to go stick my Hebrew diet. Because it would just increase animosity. it will not help his cause. That's like we don't need to go around and whack people with the thickest Bible, because they will just look at you as hostile. It's not going to win them over. He appealed with them with reason. A reason. Give us 10 days to show you that I will be okay and that you'll be okay. All right, let us live peacefully together. And let me show you that my value system actually works. Done. And he was given this opportunity because he was calm, he was gentle, and he handled the subject matter with respect. And then Daniel's faith was paid off big time. First of all, he was honored by God, and he experienced God's presence to a deeper level. Brothers and sisters, remember, God honored those who honor him. Do you know that? Do you know that? It's in the Bible. God said that. I honor those who honor me. Those who are faithful to me will never be disappointed and put to shame. The Bible said that God had promises. So Daniel's request was granted, and then they turned out to be better shape. They were greater in appearance and fatter in flesh compared to the rest of the people. By the way, to be fat in the old days, that's really a blessing. Okay, so today we have this kind of like crooked standard. When I was little, because I grew up in a ghetto, I didn't have enough to eat, so I was very skinny, and people called me a little boy, and that really hurt my self-esteem. So every day when I was getting together with my brother, we were thinking about how to get ourselves bulked up and fat. And we couldn't, right? So there's something called fat tonic. I mean, so maybe you can get some of them and drink it and get us fat. But today, everybody's trying to go in the other way. But anyway, so Daniel turned out looking better in condition compared to the rest of the people. And then at the end time, they were 10 times better than all the magicians and enchanters that were in all the kingdom, verse 18 to 21. So they're superior in all areas, not just the appearance, but the intelligence and skill, everything is better. But let me have something to say here, because I know that right now, a lot of people out there selling this Daniel's diet, including some churches playing this game. Brothers and sisters, don't be fooled. Daniel looks great, he did great, not because of the diet. Not because of the diet. It's because of God's grace. It's because of the faith. Amen? Right? So it's not because some people, I'm not putting down a particular diet. Okay, my wife loves vegetables and I love red meat. And we live peacefully together. Right? Praise the Lord. I'm not saying one diet is better than the other. It's God's grace. By God's grace, you can live to 100 and 120. God's grace, you can live with all the energy that he gives you. If you have God's presence in your life, people can see you glowing. Have you seen people like that? I hope you see that in Pastor John. Right? Right? See the halo on him. It's God's grace, God's presence. God honored Daniel because Daniel honored him. So he was favorably rewarded without going with the flow. And he came up above the world. And secondly, very important, we miss this a lot of time. Even the people honor the faithful ones. The unbelieving people would honor those people who are faithful to God. Do you believe me? Do you believe me? They may not like you, but they honor you. There's two different things. You can say, I cannot stand the guy, but I really respect him. He's a man of his word. I cannot understand how he lived with such a lifestyle and keep up this standard. That's crazy. But I respect this person. You know that? You don't need people to like you. You need people to respect you. Which one do you prefer? Right? People love the clowns, but they don't respect the clowns. You don't want to be a clown. You don't need to be a clown. King Nebuchadnezzar respected Daniel so much. On Daniel chapter 4, when you have a chance to go back and read it, Nebuchadnezzar, he respectfully acknowledged Daniel as Daniel, He said, at least Daniel came in before me. He was named Belteshazzar after the name of my God. Nebuchadnezzar remembered that I tried to change his name after my God, and this man would not conform. And eventually, Nebuchadnezzar had to respect his faith and say, he is actually Daniel. Even though I tried to make him believe, I give him a new name. I tried, and I respect him. Brother and sister, go and try it. You see the people how to respect your faith. Even though they may say, who are you, a Christian? Are you one of those? You believe that? But then they will say, you are a good man. And that's what you can do. Now, before we finish, one thing I want to show you very important here. Why did Daniel not turn down the offer then? He took the offer. What was he thinking? Why did he just turn down the offer and show them that I don't need this? I got God, and I will not even enroll myself to the program. Let me tell you, it's very important. Because I know that some parents are here looking at me already, kind of like, you're telling my kids not to apply to the Ivy League school? No, it's not wrong to apply to a brand name school. There's nothing wrong with that. It's not a sin to pursue a prestigious college or career opportunity. Nothing wrong with that. Nothing sinful about it. It's just that you have to, important to know your boundary and uphold your Christian value. Do not compromise your faith. That's what I'm saying. And that's what Daniel is doing. It's nothing wrong to take the opportunities provided to you, offered to you by the world. You can still be good witnesses. You can have them both. They offer the opportunity, I'll take it, but with my Christian value, and I can show you that how God is blessing me when I'm faithful to Him. That would make you a very powerful witness. For example, if Daniel resists and gets killed, it's honorable, it would just become a martyr. But now Daniel become a very honorable, powerful witness. And also very important, when Daniel exercised his faith, he deepened his experience of God's blessing. You continue to read the book of Daniel further and further. His faith actually became stronger and stronger. At this point, his faith is still kind of like a mustard seed. Right? He asked very sheepishly to the eunuch, can I please? Because he's just holding on a little promise by God, and he exercised it, and eventually he became so bold. He would open the window and pray and overtly defying the decree. For a reason, for a good reason. So as you exercise your faith, I don't know how many young people today, Christians today, I think one of the biggest problems today in the Christian world is they don't know for sure God is with them. You read the Bible, the children is very good. They have a chance to listen to the Bible when they're young age. By the time they get to the youth group, they can memorize a lot of the Bible stories. They think they know the Bible. Jesus loves you? Yes. How do you know? Because the Bible tells me so. And that's all they have. If today's church, brother and sister, you stand up here and say, do you know the brother loves, Jesus loves you? I know so. How do you know? I experience His love. He laid down His life for me, and I'll do anything that He wants from me. How many Christians can do that today? Can you imagine if you have 20, 30% of Christians that can do that today? Christianity would be totally different. The church would have a totally different impression to the world. Unfortunately, a lot of people today, especially young people, the biggest problem they have is read a lot of Bible stories. A lot of head knowledge, but they don't know whether it's true. Right? When you pray, you don't even know God is listening to you. How do you know that Jesus is listening to you, working in your life? I don't know. So after a while, you don't want to pray anymore. Because you feel like you're talking to war. You got to experience prayer Jesus in your presence. How do you do that? You have to exercise your faith and live like a Christian. And Jesus will walk you through from one challenge to another. Just like the Bible said, even though when you're walking through the valley of the shadow of death, you have no fear because you know Jesus is with you. And then you are victorious. You become very strong Christian. It's like bodybuilding. How many bodybuilders here? Okay. In my church, we have a lot of people into taking protein. But taking protein itself is not going to make you look good. They have to lift weight, right? And I try to make myself a little bit, because I since I became a pastor, I cannot play basketball that much. People don't want to hurt me. So I keep exercising. My son saw me like, "Dad, that doesn't work." "What do you mean doesn't work? I'm going to do like 50 times. He said, "Dad, that's a 10-pounder. I said, "Yeah? Yeah?" He said, no, you're just going to burn your ligament. You're going to wear out your joint, and you're going to have arthritis." I look at him like, you know better than me. And then, of course, he's like, right? His bicep like twice mine. So I said, "How do I do it, Jonathan?" I said, "You should take on the weight like 2-3 times this. You can hardly lift it up and do it like 4-5 times and rest and do it 2 more times, like repetition. It's the weight that you carry that make you stronger, not the repetition, because the repetition doing the same thing, it doesn't labor you, it's going to wear you out. It's the same on faith building. You can do the same thing that you're good at. Leon is a great worship leader. You got so much energy. Give some to me. You must drink a lot of Starbucks. But yeah, you can you bless the people here. But you just keep, if you don't do anything else, right? So you don't really build yourself up. Get outside your comfort zone. Let God's grace carry you. Then you see that God is real. Because you know why? If I lead praise like Him, let me tell you. You don't know me, but my people in my church would know. They would say, "Pastor Donald, Jesus must be with you, because you cannot be singing like that." And you will experience God's grace. Remember, don't be afraid. Don't conform. Dare to be different. Then your faith will get stronger. A Christian faith become a joyful journey for you, and not a chore, not a burden. Like, "I'm a Christian, but I don't know what I could do. Don't talk to me. Don't let me see Pastor John, because he'll be ashamed of me." That's no joy. Amen? Brother and sister, I don't know what kind of challenge you're facing today. Could be many. Student, you're facing challenge from your school, the teachers, your peer, those that you're working, your boss, the tough demand, the crazy schedule, they're going to try to move you out of the track of the Christian walk. Dare to be different and say no. But say it nicely. And say it truthfully to the Lord. Some very famous church, they sell this Daniel's diet for 40 days. Daniel's 40-day diet. Let me try to tell you. I'll give you a different Daniel diet for 40 days. For 40 days. Stay true to the Bible teaching, read your Bible, and say no to the people who tell you otherwise for 40 days. Your spiritual Daniel diet, and see how you're going to work, how you're going to make it out. Amen? How many are you going to try it? How many are you going to try it? Can I hear? Okay, great. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. All right, let's pray. Father God, we thank you so much for being our God, and thank you so much for your word and scripture and reminding us that to teach us the truth that we cannot learn from the world. And we thank you so much for what you have done in our human history and even in today in everyone here in our own walk of life, showing us that you are real, you are faithful, you are good, you are merciful, you are gracious. Help us, Lord. We are living in a crooked and corrupt world. We need to be strengthened. Strengthen us when we are weak. And Lord, we thank you so much for church. Thank you so much for OCM Church, of Grace Church here, that we have this spiritual community we can grow together and teach us how to keep each other accountable as this church is going to go on this Daniel's 40 days spiritual diet, Lord. Empower them and see what a difference they're going to make and glorify you. May all the glory be to you. In Jesus Christ's name, we pray. Amen.